What actually is a radio wave? What is a radio frequency? How can I put these words out into the atmosphere, and how do they get picked up and listened to on your phone, app, device, or car? I couldn't answer these questions, but we did get stuck into the 2015 Esperance Bushfire Inquiry. That's coming up in the podcast. Also spoke to Tammy, and I had a bit of a rant about social media and how people act on there. It's coming up on the Catch Up.
Bye.
Across Esperance.
Sean for breakfast.
Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M, and it's the time of the week where we catch up with Kylie Ryan and Tammy Maloney from the Chamber of Commerce and Business Local. Now, Kylie Ryan is on an indefinite hiatus, so Tammy is wearing both hats today. How are you? I know.
I'm very well, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. So, what's it like being Kylie and Tammy at the same time?
Oh, it's sort of hard. You know, I don't have the hair to go with the Kylie, and
she's got very long hair.
Very long hair. It's a bit of pressure.
No, that's all right. I'm sure you're doing wonderfully.
Thank you.
Let's get into it. Chamber chat. We've got a few really great events which are coming up. 3 in 2 days, actually.
Yeah, we're under the pump this week a bit, so that's exciting.
Yes.
So on Thursday from 11 to 1pm, we have the Esperance Women's Leadership Network.
So this is round two.
Round two, yes.
Round one was amazing. 60 people,
yes.
Mostly women.
That's right, mostly women. We did have the odd gentleman pop in, which is great as well. So this one is kindly being hosted by Esperance Senior High School. And it's just a great way for older people to start to mentor those younger women that are coming through leaving high school and trying to, you know, give them a vision of what they can achieve, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
A networking event, so it's good to start building these relationships between the old wise heads of our females in Esperance and our younger girls coming
through.
That's
right. And they're going to be discussing things like barriers for women in the workplace. And also we're going to be hearing from three local inspiring ladies.
Very exciting. Next event, let's pop along.
Yes. Next event, sorry, is our Facebook workshop on Thursday once again from 1 to 2:30. And that's with the very talented Kim Maslin. And that's going to be all about using Facebook for marketing for your business. 1 to 2:30 on the 28th.
You'd be living underneath a rock if you didn't think that Facebook was important to your business. Mm. And it's a free tool that you can use to promote your products or
promote your
services as well.
Exactly.
And this is just a few little hints to try and overcome that pesky little algorithm that Facebook have.
Exactly.
And event number three.
Number three. So this is Friday the 29th of March, and this is our business after hours, which are also very popular. So that's from 5 to 7pm at the Pier Hotel. And it is kindly being hosted by the Pier Hotel, WorkLink and Rick Wilson. Get on down to that. Come and have a chat with these different businesses and these different people, and hopefully network and enjoy yourself as well on a Friday.
Networking doesn't get any easier than if it's at the pub.
Exactly. It's very easy there.
because you know, often networking and talking to people can be a little bit foreboding, a bit intimidating, but, you know, after a couple pints.
Everybody relaxes.
I think a few responsible beverages really helps the mood.
It does, exactly.
Across Esperance.
Sean for breakfast.
You know, these topics, you hear them and you say, oh,
so boring.
Well, not boring, but just tedious, maybe.
Yes,
but
definitely.
They're so important, and we'll try and spice it up for you. Let's talk about budgets and your just general finance.
Yes, so budgets and forecasts. So financial forecasts can really help you meet your business goals. Forecasting can really help you forecast and make any adjustments that you need to do. So basically, for monthly or weekly forecasts, it may be really necessary to do that when you're starting your business, when you're experiencing rapid growth, or when you're having financial difficulties as well.
Yeah.
So once you're more established and you're a little bit more stable, then you can cut that down to, say, monthly and quarterly forecasts.
And so is that the most ahead you want to be looking, or do you want to be going right into a year forecast or perhaps even more?
Yeah, a lot of businesses forecast for a year in advance and then 5 years, and then they go into their long-term goals and
planning, 10-year planning. Heaven forbid.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, so, you know. But anyway, so financial forecasts can include your startup costs, your sales, your expenses, your cost of goods sold, which is COGS, and your cash flow.
And if you want any more information about those, look, I reckon you could draw those up in a simple little spreadsheet if you had the time, which I'm sure. And the thing
is,
what is also important is you need to actually make the time. You can't just say, oh, I'll do my budget.
I'll get to my
forecasting. No, put aside an hour of your workday to get to this and get on top of it. And once you do, you build up that template, then it's done.
It's easy
to adjust.
And you don't need to reinvent the wheel because I have access to templates, free ones, that work all this sort of stuff out for you. So you don't even have to put in formulas. You don't have to do anything like that. It is all there. So rather than spending time doing all that, all you have to do is put in the information.
It sounds good to me. Mm. You can get that information at Business Local,
which
is you. You're also the Chamber of Commerce CEO at the moment and everything else in between.
That's it.
If you do want more information, contact Business Local.
It's 90715142 or Be Local with no E at esperanceCCI.com.au.
I've been speaking to Tammy Maloney this morning. She's Business Local. She's Carly Ryan as well. Yep. She's the Chamber of Commerce CEO. She's everything to do with business
and
around
admin.
Town. And admin. Thanks for joining me this
Thank
morning.
Thank you very much, Sean. Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Absolutely unreal. That's Elvis Presley and Burning Love. And Sean for Breakfast, Essence is 747 MMM. I say unreal because I don't choose the logs in the station. I don't choose the music. But Burning Love has something to do with what I'm about to speak about next, which is the 2015 bushfire inquiry. It began yesterday at the Esperance Courthouse. It'll go for all 5 days. And I'll be there reporting on it. I just wanted to let you know the key points of what happened yesterday. The court spoke to three different people. They spoke to Kevin Wisby, he was a police investigator specialising in car accidents and arson. We spoke to Dr. Neil Burrows as well. He was DPOR at the time. And Andrew Duckworth from DFES. Now, Neil Burrows, he was second on the stand. He basically covered his report into the cause and spread of the fire. Of note, he said the fire was possibly the most severe on record, at least in southern Australia, and I'm quoting there. The winds were 60 kilometres per hour on average, with gusts of up to 90 kilometres per hour, which is unreal. The fire would have been moving at around 14 kilometres per hour on average and up to 20 kilometres per hour. Now, he did say these were catastrophic conditions. It was hot, 40 degrees. It was dry and obviously it was very windy. Basically, he said once this fire got up and running, it was impossible to stop. No firefighters, no water bombers could have stopped it on the 17th of November after it jumped containment lines. And that's where things get interesting because the fire was burning for 2 days at the Lake Menz and Pyramid Lake area. Now, there were some questions about whether this area should have been backburned previously. It's been left untouched for 50 years. Now, the interface between the Crown land, which it was, and farmland is 700 kilometres per hour. So Dr. Burrows did say it probably wasn't practical. They didn't have the resources or the money to actually backburn that area. Once the fire had started, though, it was small. It was only 1 hectare in size, but built over 2 days, on the 15th and 16th of November, the 17th of November being that fatal day, until it grew to be 5 kilometres wide. Now, as the fire was small, firefighters did go in there and installed a 100-metre wide rolled scrub buffer to try and disrupt the fire and act as a containment line. This was increased to 180 metres on the 17th, the morning of. Interestingly enough, the fire didn't jump the containment line when it was increased to 180 metres. It did in those lesser areas when the buffer was only 100 metres. Now, that was an issue. Whether they should have got started on increasing this buffer width earlier is one question that was asked but couldn't be answered. There was also a question of whether water bombers could have been used to extinguish the fire when it was small. Dr. Burrows said, no, that wouldn't have happened. You'd need a lot more support than that. But perhaps using water bombers would have given them more time to increase this buffer length to 180 to 200 metres and perhaps prevent the fire from jumping over into farm land. Now, what we need to remember now is on that day, November 2015, there was a bunch of fires happening. The Merivale fire was happening on our doorstep just to the east. There's also 8 other fires in WA, including in Albany, Kalamunda, and Rockingham. There was more said at the inquiry yesterday. They also spoke to Andrew Duckworth from DFES. He said some interesting things. We'll get to him after INXS. Oh, my goodness. This song is Burn For You. I'm not joking. I don't choose the music. This is just unreal. Listen to Sean for Breakfast. More next.
Waking up has never felt so good.
Sean for Breakfast.
Sean for Breakfast. Estimates is 747 Triple M. That is a hard out, that song by INXS. And I promise you, I don't choose the music here at the station. The song is called Burn For You, and we are talking about the 2015 Esperance bushfires. An inquiry into the deaths of four people began yesterday. It's happening all this week at the Esperance Courthouse. I've been covering it for you, bringing you what happened in there so you don't have to go through it. All in all, it was mostly quite a boring day. We had three people in there, including Andrew Duckworth. He was from DFES. He was brought in after the events to try and figure out what happened on DFES's part, basically the source of the fire and then how it spread. Interestingly, about his statement, so what came of it was he did say it was like nothing he'd ever investigated before. He labelled it as crazy what happened. What will be looked at a bit more in the next few days, which Mr. Duckworth alluded to, was the communications between local fireys and DFES. There was a suggestion that the Shire of Esperance said on the Monday night, this is the night before the fire got out of hand, DFES, can you guys take over? DFES categorically deny that, or according to Andrew Duckworth anyway. It changed hands from Shire jurisdiction to DFES at midday on the fatal day, the 17th of November. The sad events that happened on Grigg Road in Scadden happened at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So it was only a couple of hours before. Perhaps that communication should have happened earlier and DFES taken charge earlier, because at that time the local fires were under a lot of pressure. They're also combating a fire out at Merivale. What also I found interesting, and perhaps people know this around town, but I just didn't, the fact that we all know DFES and they've got their bushfire warnings, and it begins as a gentle warning, turns into a watch and act, and then an emergency fire. The emergency alert only came about at 5 p.m. on that day, November 17. The fatalities happened at 3 o'clock, so why it wasn't upgraded sooner? This was a 5-kilometre-wide fire that was going 20 kilometres per hour speed in some places. That sounds like an emergency situation to me. Why it wasn't upgraded earlier is another question which will be asked in the next few days. It'd be very interesting as well to see how they delve into the issue of communication to these farmers. I mean, we are out in a remote area. Apparently, the two-way radio system was a little bit dodgy. Phone communication reception is also a little bit dodgy. It meant that there wasn't clean and clear communication between people fighting the fires and also farmers at their properties. Look, it's another one of these. We'll keep you updated as it comes to light. And just a reminder as well, this isn't trying to put blame on any group. This is a process which basically aims to figure out what went wrong and how we can do better if it happens again. I'll be at the fires today. Will Carmody, he was the fire and safety officer in charge and on that November 17th. He was actually in charge on the 15th and the 16th as well. He'll be speaking first up. Also, the Shire CEO, Matthew Scott, will also be talking. I'll bring you everything that happens tomorrow on the show. Keep a lookout on Facebook as well, because I'll do a quick video update later today. Coming up later, The Temptations. My Girl is up on Triple M next.
Waking up has never felt so good.
Sean for Breakfast.
Stevie Winwood and Valerie on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 747 Triple M. Now, that song sounds oddly a lot like a song from the 2000s, a bit of a disco track called Call on Me by Eric Pritst. Interesting. Now, we want to go to a little bit of a sour story here. Liam Ryan, he's got some good news, but mostly some bad news. The good news is he will be available to play this weekend for the West Coast Eagles. Last night at the tribunal, it was basically found that he hadn't committed an offence that deserved weeks when he struck Gardner, the Brisbane Lions player, on the weekend. What was really sad was seeing some of the social media posts about him before this decision was made. Basically, 7AFL put up an Instagram post and said, should he get weeks or should he be let off? And people were basically putting these disgusting posts that were, quite frankly, just racist and bigoted. They called him, and I hate to use this word, but they called him a monkey. One of the people was Ash Jones. I'm going to name and shame him right now. He has since apologized. He has gotten in contact with Liam Ryan and apologized for his actions. But there was more than one, and it's just... The amount of people that take to social media to say this filth is absolutely abhorrent. This is Lewis Jetta speaking yesterday before training.
Yeah, people just need to grow up. It's 2019.
It's disgusting, mate. They're cowards. These guys on the internet doing this trolling. It's out of control.
That's West Coast Eagles player Josh Kennedy. Before that, you heard from Lewis Jetta, who's also a West Coast Eagle. And I've said this a lot on the program, and I'm going to say it again. I just want to reinforce my point. Social media is a platform or platforms that many people can see. Think of it a bit like being walking out on the street. When you say something, when you post something out, you're basically going out there and saying words to everybody on the street, on that platform. Would you say it out in public? Would you say these racist remarks? Would you say these personal attacking comments if it was out in the street? No, of course you wouldn't, because you have decency. But just because the people are hiding behind keyboards, just because they're sitting on the toilet on their phone posting these comments, they think it's okay. It simply isn't. We have to get better as society. And to be honest, I think it's about time Facebook and Instagram and these platforms start policing these comments and trying to get rid of the filth. Bans should be enforced. At the very least, these people should have to show their names so we can name and shame them, which is what they deserve. This is the Easy Beats. She's So Fine on Triple M. A crap ad is coming up.
Waking up has never felt so good.
Sean for breakfast.
Another hard out. It's the Eggsy Beats on Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 747 Triple M. It's just past 22 and 9 o'clock. And now it is time for another crappy ad.
Oh, Sally. Is everything okay? Is this because your crazy crab died? I know things can be hard, but I think I know what will cheer you up. A pair of Donny Pescaroni's sneakers.
Hey, watch it. My name's Donny Pescaroni and I want to sell you a pair of my sneakers.
These sneakers, they're not for smucks. They're perfect for everything. Running, ball sports and walking. Hey, I'm walking here.
They will be the best thing that ever happens to you. I guarantee.
Absolutely cannot guarantee.
I come from New York City and we do a lot of walking. We walk here, we walk there, we... Oh, stop.
Traffic lights.
Okay, let's go. We're walking here.
Don't make me make you regret not buying a pair. Capiche?
Donny Pescaroni sneaker outlet, only available online. Hey, I'm walking here.
Boy, oh boy, I'm going to keep running those ads until someone tells me to stop. Coming up on the program, we're almost done, really. 15 minutes to go before 9 o'clock in Rural Focus. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers is coming up. This is a song that I listened to with my girlfriend as we travelled around Queensland over Christmas. We've also got Real Thing, Triple M. Stay tuned.
Short for breakfast catch-up on Triple M.
Bye-bye, have a good time.
Listen to Short for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.